drops, and I heard you cry. All you need is time. Seek me and you shall find. You have everything and you're still lonely. It don't have to be this way. Let me show
don't go too deep. Ask me some shallow questions. Ask me a child's question.
I have one.
Okay.
Very good.
Sound issue. I'm going to go back to the beginning of that talk. We had the sound set in the wrong position.
Don't go too deep. Ask me some shallow questions. Ask me a child's question.
I have one.
Okay. Very good.
The little girl next door, her dog was just killed by a car. She's grieving. What would you say to her?
I would leave her alone to grieve. I would not be in too much of a hurry to say something. Sometimes we cause much more trouble wanting to say something to alleviate grief. And by doing that, we are showing that grief is should be cut short. It's not good. But it's great to grieve. Sometimes it's necessary, important to grieve. It's also healing. Whoever grieves knows in that moment it's a very private affair, a deeply private affair. Maybe for the first time you want to be absolutely alone and enjoy this aloneness. Sometimes I've had the privilege of going to funerals where maybe a young person has been shot or something like that, and many young people go to this funeral to look at the corpse of a young person their own age, 13 years old, lying in that box, unmoving. Maybe their first opportunity to look at death, to look at a body so still, and they themselves become still. I call it the darshan of death itself. And it's a very private moment, because many of these young people, their minds are constantly into what's going to happen next, and all this weekend, and we're going to rave, and we're going to do, and they're constantly in a state of some agitation, in a state of some excitement. And this is a wonderful opportunity. My own children, when my eldest son died, I said, come, let's go. You have to go and visit this place to see the body of your brother. And they said, no, Dada. I said, no, I'm not going to force you to go, but I'll encourage you to go and to take a look. And so that they came of their own volition, they came and they looked, and this outpouring came. Yes. And I didn't try to stop them. I said, no, it's important for you to grieve, to have this moment, because we don't know when another one will come, another opportunity. This is a great opportunity to be alone, feel that grief. And when you're emptied of grief, then the grief is over. So I would not want to find something. I know many people are itching to say something like, never mind, darling, you know, like, you'll get another one. Bad news. We say sometimes the most inappropriate thing, trying to help.
Yes.
You see? Yes. Never mind, darling, you know, I'm going to get you a goldfish next week. Mm-hmm. It's the most inappropriate thing. Better stay out of it and let them grieve and empty themselves of grief. Yes, this is what I would say. Actually, it's a very good question to ask, because over my life I've seen it, where someone rubs your shoulder, takes you away, puts a Coca-Cola in your hand and say, hey, come on, let's go for a walk, to distract you from grief. I would say, no, be very much in that moment of grief and grief. If it takes you all day, all week, all month, allow it. It's a friend. It's also an expression of grace to grieve, and grieve entirely, wholeheartedly. Cry buckets of tears if that's what's to come. Be emptied of it. And something is deeply alive in this grief. Yes.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Thank you. am down, and oh, my soul so weary. When troubles come, and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Okay, that was Joss Coran singing You Raise Me Up. Quite an inspirational song. And now we'll go back to our talks. Seeing who we have lined up this time. This is a talk by Master Eckhart Tolle. And it's titled, What Role Does Service to Others Play in the Evolution Impulse?
Marina asks from North Carolina, in my efforts to be in the now, I find I'm able to reach a state of peace and connectedness. I think that I wouldn't call it effort, but I know what you mean. It feels complete and fulfilling, and yet there's a voice in my mind saying that to be truly connected, I should find a way to be in service to others. Can you help me understand the role that being in service to others plays in the evolutionary impulse of the universe? Thank you for bringing a ray of hope to humanity. It is an interesting synchronicity to me that the day of your program launch is also my birthday. Happy birthday. The evolutionary impulse of the universe, the arising of presence. You cannot not be of service to others as presence arises, one way or another. The way in which you are of service to others will vary from person to person. You may not immediately know what your way is. Again, the mind sometimes wants to know too soon, okay, what am I doing? What am I going to do with it now? I'm present. Be present, and gradually the realization of how you are to serve others, whether it's through direct spiritual teaching or whether it's through some activity into which the energy frequency of presence flows, you don't know. It may come to you, it might take a while. It took years for this teaching to come out of the state of presence, so many years. It may take a while, or it may happen very quickly. There is an acceleration happening on the planet now of the arising of presence. So it's probably happening more quickly to you than to me. How to be of service to others, whether it's through direct spiritual teaching or some activity, they will come to you either through an external circumstance that will tell you what it is that you need to do. It can come from the outside as a synchronistic event. And this, many people are telling me that they're finding that things that are just right as they live more and more in presence come into their lives. The right offer, you're meeting the right person, and suddenly what it is that you need to do arises. From the outside it comes. Or you wake up one morning and with the realization of, this is what I need to do. And then I would wait and see, just to make sure that it comes from a deep enough place. And if it's still there the next day and a week later, and there's a deep sense of peace with it and power, then it comes from a deep place, and then it's good to act on it. This is how I got taken away from living in England. I loved England, but one morning I knew I have to remove myself without knowing why. And it was so strong that I removed myself. I knew I had to go to the west coast of North America, not knowing why, and it took a while before I got rid of everything, removed myself, landed on the west coast. What now? Don't know. And so I sat there for a few weeks in presence, and the mind, yes, came in occasionally and said, this is, why did you come here? It doesn't make sense. And the mind even started to look at ads for flying back to England, fares. And then at some point, the impulse came to buy a notepad, carried the notepad, not home, I didn't have a home, somebody had put me up. And there in his kitchen, the pen came and a very strong impulse came to write. And I wrote, what is enlightenment? Somebody had once asked me that, but that I remembered more or less what I had said. But that was a new stream that came. And I'd written one page and I knew this is a book, it's coming. And so there was simply something I couldn't have predicted, obedience to what came out of the present moment, and the trust to go just into the, with a limited amount of money, into complete unknown. But don't do it on an impulse that is a restless kind of impulse, or that comes out of any kind of negative emotion. and see if it's still with you after a while. Then it's right, it's peaceful and it's powerful. It seemed the book could only be written on the west coast of North America because of the energy field there. I realized it later when I went back to England. The writing stopped. I could only do editing. And so all kinds of things people will be called upon to serve in all kinds of capacities. According to your abilities, it may be that you produce something artistic or music that is inspiring to many people, whatever it is, we don't know. It may be that you set up a business and everybody who comes there is greeted as for who they are. So you recognize everybody as spirit, as consciousness, and everybody who comes away from your business feels lighter and more themselves. Many things can be used as excuses for spiritual transmission and spiritual teaching. And if you already have some business or some activity, it is quite possible that this could be continued to be used then as a vehicle for transmission of spiritual energy. And then it will become empowered. Beautiful thing. There's no predicting how this will change your life, except that it will change your life. And even if some people may not remove themselves, they may stay where they are, and yet it will change. It might not change what you do, but it will fundamentally change how you do what you do. That's always the most important thing, is not what you do, it's how you do it. What is the consciousness that flows into it? Is it the egoic consciousness or is it the unconditioned consciousness?
Okay, that was an interesting point. The last thing, it's not really what you do, it's how you do it. How much love flows into what you do, how much of the unconditioned consciousness comes into what you do. Excuse me. And we'll come back again to some music. So Celine Dion is on her Firing Cross Lines tonight. So we have another song from her, "The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face." Haven't heard it for a while myself.
Ever saw your face, but the sun rose in your eyes.
Was Celine Dion singing the first time I ever saw your face. You remember Nana Nesguri used to sing that song in the old days, and I just remembered Nana Nesguri. I have to bring her on the show. She's a wonderful. She was one of my favorite singers way back when, but she's still a good singer. I'll bring her on the show maybe the next time. But right now we're going back to Master Muji again, and he's going to. Oh, I just lost my connection. No, I got it back. I got it back. Sometimes I lose my connection, but it came back pretty quick. So here we have Master Muji, and he's talking about God. God.
The word emptiness, but also many times you speak about God. Can you say they are one?
Even to say they would make emptiness into another. Let's say that whatever concept we may hold, whatever sensation or feeling or thought arises in that oneness, in what I would call or refer to as emptiness, whatever perception, whatever ideas must arise in that space of emptiness, including our idea about God, you see. For me, it's natural to speak of God because for so long, God was my great other for a while. Now, when I speak of God, it's a feeling, a deep feeling within. Is it that I'm speaking to Father? I don't think about it. If it's speaking to myself, it's a natural instinct within that refers or relate to what I call a supreme power. Sometimes I'm in that mood where I feel, yes, you know, I'll say, Father, thank you for this ability to perceive and to experience, which I'm enjoying right now. Sometimes I would say this. Another time, this mood is not there. And I'm not speaking about God, not because sometimes this mood is simply not there. And there is no sense of other. Even God, as I said before, I don't have the sense it's other, you see.
And if you feel that God is in you, and even God is you, God is me, the reaction that may come is that you feel a great power and that you can do so much, you can change the world, or miracles can come, or...
Actually, the opposite is true for me. I don't know about others, but when I discovered the God self, God power in me, I realized I couldn't do so many things. I didn't want to do so many things. I had a false idea of my own power to do, to change, to fix. When I met God, so to speak, I didn't feel like I had to do anything. Didn't feel it as a great achiever. I don't feel even as an unachiever. I was just happy. Happy and settled, at peace. I was not even thinking about God. I felt like when you're with your mother, you're thinking about your mother. I felt like when I'm with God, I'm not thinking about God. I don't feel, people say, but you're in duality. I'm not even thinking about duality. So I don't know what is my state. I simply am home. Don't go too deep. Ask me some shallow questions. Ask me a
when you feel the intuition, the sense I am, and it's not linking with anything else. When it's not coming from history, when it's not somebody's daughter or someone's husband or someone's wife, when it hasn't any interest in future or past, when it's merely that beautiful intuition, the sense I am, when it feels like space, when it's not hunger for association, when it perceives with silence and joy, when it arises out of emptiness, when it has no name, when it has no birthday, no star sign, when it's not influenced by otherness, that beautiful intuition that you are now aware of, which stands by itself, dwells within itself, that is the godly principle in you, the earliest manifestation of the eternal principle in form. That feeling I am is the God Self in you. When you're in a position to witness the sense I am, and that might feel like it comes and goes, when you're in the position to witness the sense I am, you are beyond all. No words can touch you. To that, words such as the unborn, the infinite, the eternal, are only indications of that state. I would call it a stateless state, that within which other states are perceived, but itself carries no label. What I'm speaking about is not that it's something which is away from you, sequentially or spatially separate. It is your inmost being. And it's not hidden under layers and layers and layers of stuff. These are all ideas. It's neither hidden or obvious, though we have to use these words, because we are speaking with words. Yourself is just yourself. All of this is inside yourself. You don't need to feel that in any particular way. You can forget about this. There will come a time by itself when you may experience this spontaneously. For now, all that matters is stop associating with objects. Stop calling yourself, oh, I am the body and this belongs to me, without investigating it. Learn to bring your attention, your sense of I, away from the forest of associations and attachments. Remain detached. This is the key back to who you are. There is no journey of, there's no distance to who you are. These are all ideas. You are, and that's it. Don't associate this I am-ness with any quality, and spontaneously and immediately it reveals itself to itself. I've tried to say as much as possible in this moment as a sort of a synopsis of all that you've heard over these weeks. Those who have come for the first time, it's still fine. Something in your being can assimilate it in its own way.
Some Indian music that they're singing there. That talk was given in India, in South India. All right, so that's two short talks by Master Muji. And it's time for a little music now. So this time we're going to have... I didn't really set it up properly here. Let me see. Let me see what's available. Well, here's one here. This is the original song from Titanic, My Heart Will Go On. So it's an original Celine Dion song. I'm having a little difficulty getting to it. Ah, there. All right, should be coming up now. I presume you saw that movie, The Titanic. It's pretty interesting, pretty well done. I have it there, but it's not moving. Let's see what's going on. My heart will go on. So there we have a wonderful song, My Heart Will Go On, sung by a wonderful singer, Celine Dion. And now we're getting towards the latter half of the show. So I think there was an exercise in one of the recent talks, maybe the last one, but I got distracted, so I wasn't listening, but maybe you picked it up. Anyway, this is a guided meditation. It's the second half of meditation. This only involves about 8 or 10 minutes, and it's the second half. So, theoretically speaking, you should have been meditating for the last 10 minutes, and you'd be in a state of inner quietness, silence. But we're going to take it up now, and so if you can, just put yourself into a comfortable position, either sitting on the seat or lying down if you need to, but you could fall asleep. And also be good if you can close your eyes and just follow along the instructions, because these are geared to give you an experience of your inner self, your real self, and to see what qualities lie there. So listen carefully.
Notice the sense I. It is also only a sensation in this. There is no need to try and visualize any image here. It's not a game you play. Be only in your being. All associations come later. Questions such as, how can I stay here, are completely meaningless. For whom are they who will come and go from here? These are mere ideas. In this natural state of being, you can move about in your body quite naturally, happily. This remains unaffected. You can notice this. It is not a belief system. It is not a system. If you have to answer the phone, you cannot come out of this. This is just a thought. If you meet someone and a conversation takes place, it doesn't take you out of this. That would just be a thought. If such thoughts are believed, then they become your experience. Where is the beginning of this? Where is the end? Who are you here? descriptions can fit you. If the mind, in the form of thoughts, should suddenly appear loudly, it makes no difference to this. Unless you think that it makes a difference to this. So in a moment or two, I'm going to ask you, you can open your eyes when you want. It will make no difference. Nothing your body does, nor your mind thinks, makes a difference to this. But if you think it does, it will feel like this. Do not be afraid of thoughts. You do not need to identify with thoughts to use thoughts. Notice how your life can unfold in its natural ambient and play. And inwardly, in this place, this is not other than your own self. This remains as it is. Now as you open your eyes, you will see that the quality of inner silence and presence remains like a subtle energy inside this body. Each time you turn your attention in this way, you will notice this beautiful, peaceful energy. Get used to it, and gradually this current of joy and peace will remain unbroken in you. Don't try and tell anybody about it. When your mind is in a natural state of being, you will notice that you don't have to think so much, prepare so much. The feeling of anxiety, restlessness will not be so strong for you. The more you focus your attention in this way, the easier everything becomes. The lighter your life will feel. Again, you will notice that something feels more like a spontaneous existence. What you have tasted and allowed yourself to experience in these few minutes, moments, thousands of books and words have been trying to convey. This which is wordless and nameless and unchanging and full of joy.
Okay, that's your guided meditation for this evening. We've come to the end of the show, so I'm happy to have been with you, even though my flu and cold and my chest is bothering me a bit. But hopefully I haven't bothered the show too much. So we'll go out with some music. This time it won't be singing, I think. I think I've... it's Canon in C minor by Johann Pachelbel. Many of you have probably heard this before, but it's a nice piece of music, I believe. All right, look forward to seeing you again in about a week. If you live in Santa Cruz, you can tune into Free Radio Santa Cruz 103.1. That's Monday and Tuesday. Monday 6 to 8, Tuesday 7 to 8. So 2 hours one day and 1 hour the other day. And if you want to get, if you'd like to hear some of these archive shows, you go to Radio for All. It's the letter 4, not F-O-R, Radio for All. .net, and you put in the name of the show, Health and the Awakening of the Self, into the search engine there, and then you'll come up with all the shows. There's probably 12 or 15 shows there by now. If you'd like to follow any of these masters, you'll find them on YouTube on your computer, and you can go into their more into their teachings if you wish, if you have the time and the inclination. And there's also a very good site called Buddha at the Gas Pump, and it interviews maybe 200 or 300 different teachers from around the world, mostly in the United States, but also from around the world. And you get to meet lots of different spiritual teachers, and you know, if you're looking for a teacher, there you'll find one who relates to you. So that's a good site to visit. So. Till I see you again next Monday or Tuesday, have a good life.